How do we start?
What? Go.
I forgot. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay. Are these going to be outtakes?
Probably. Where's my glasses?
Welcome to 10 Bestest,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
Each week we share our 10 favorite things of the moment.
Anything goes.
Hi, Brian.
Hello, Karen. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Long time no see.
I know. It feels like it's been a long time and I've missed 10 Bestest.
Me too.
And here we are doing another episode.
Yes.
We did take a hiatus.
We did.
But we're back, but with some news.
Yeah. We're going to do this a little more often.
Yes. More often than zero.
Than nothing.
But likely not every week.
Right.
So we're changing our frequency. It won't be quite as predictable, but you will be able to enjoy some more episodes of 10 Bestest moving forward.
Yeah. I feel like we've kind of gotten excited about the show, doing the show again.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it more and just having the stakes a little lower, that pressure of the weekly grind.
Yes.
So I'm excited.
Me too.
And I have so many cool sheets. I had to replace some that I had from a long time ago and new ones popped up. And yeah, so this is going to be a fun episode.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm excited.
And I think you get to go first.
I do. Yes. All right. Well, I am going to start with an app. And this app is called Duolingo. It is fabulous. You know, I was not convinced that any of those programs to learn languages would work. I had inspected some of them and they just seemed kind of boring. But my son, Julian, started using Duolingo for a variety of languages. And I got curious. And so I checked it out. And it was especially because I knew I was going to be visiting the country of Colombia last year. And so I thought, oh, this would be good to review. So I do know Spanish. And I started doing it. And I was immediately sold. And I will say that not only does it work really well for reviewing, which I did, but also for learning new languages. So I tried learning Hebrew and I knew nothing about that language, but just as a little test and for fun, I began learning this new alphabet. And so it really worked for that. So that's my experience. But Duolingo has a lot of evidence. They are involved with some studies of people who are doing actual research on that has to do with linguistics or psychology or sociology. And using Duolingo, it's been shown that it does work. Now, are you going to become fluent? I doubt it, but it really works for learning how to write things out, to read things, to listen and comprehend them, and also to speak. It has the best voice recognition with a different language that I've experienced before. Of course, things are getting way better with AI and stuff, but and not only that, it is really fun. They have this social aspect to it. So you have friends and then you have friends' quests of learning the different languages. So the gamification has gotten me really excited about it and it works great. I highly recommend Duolingo.
Let me tell you, 2 minutes on the dot, you haven't missed a beat. Nice job.
Woohoo. That was thank
perfect.
You.
Duolingo, yes. So you should see my little Duolingo mascot guy because the less you do it, the yes. more like decrepit he gets.
Yes.
And boy, if I showed you, he's zombified 100%. Poor guy. Every time I open it, he just looks at me like, where have
is
you been?
Is he crying? Is he
yeah.
so
oh, he's
sad?
So sad.
Well,
yeah.
we should become friends on Duolingo.
We should totally do
okay.
that. So now a question, do you have the paid version?
Oh,
it?
Yes. So I wanted to mention that. I have the paid version.
Okay.
So one thing I do like about Duolingo is that it is accessible to all because there is a free version.
Yes.
But you have to deal with ads, which yeah. is not fun.
And can't you, like, you can only make so many mistakes, I think,
exactly.
a day.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you're locked for 24 hours
yes.
or whatever until
yeah.
the next day or something.
Yeah. So the nice thing about the paid version is that you can get a family plan and then you have, I think it's up to 5 people maybe. And so you could share with 5 friends. Friends or family members
oh, cool.
and get the advanced, the super Duolingo at yeah. a reduced rate that way.
Is it annual a pay annual?
You can do it either way. I do it annually, but you could do monthly.
Or you do month to month. Yeah. So I got Babbel just because I got it on sale and did a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid for it like $150 once, and I have it, and of course I haven't used it.
Yeah. Well, I got Babbel and Duolingo at the same time. It was last year. I was, you know, when there was a sale.
Yeah.
And I did both each evening.
Yeah.
And Babbel fell by the wayside pretty quickly because Duolingo was just so much more fun. They're so good.
The gamification is it's smart and it works.
Yes. Yeah. It absolutely works.
Well, that's cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to have to, you know, get the dust off of my little buddy and hopefully.
And let's friend each other because you do little friends quests and maybe it will help motivate you.
Okay.
I do it every day. I'm on a, I'm almost to 300 day streak now.
Dang. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's cool. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
My first cool sheet is a newsletter or a website, and it's actually, I'm going to talk about the newsletter, and it's called Brands Taking Stands. So this is a weekly newsletter of analysis on rising corporate activism. So it's so easy to hear about kind of how awful corporations are and what they're doing, and they're ruining the world and taking people's rights or funding people that I don't like. They're doing all these really bad things. And if it's an issue that's very important to me, I will boycott them or change my opinion, you know, shop there less frequently. I make a decision if it's something that I'm really passionate about. It's not everything. But what this a newsletter does, it's a weekly newsletter, it talks about what the good things that corporations are doing. And I love that so much more. The other is important. You need to know who you really want to be against. But to have like people that are actually doing things for the positive is just really good for your mindset, mental health, all of those things. And the website goes into a bunch of different things. It goes into, you know, very specific kind of social, economic, and environmental things. And it goes into other subjects besides just corporations. But the newsletter is kind of more specific to corporations. So their manifesto is shed the gloom, embrace the momentum. And I just love that outlook. The editorial team is led by three women. So Tina Casey, Maria Mazzani, and Taylor Holterman. So, and the whole like company is female led and mostly female, which I love. Some of the articles that they've been sending me is Ethical Sourcing Campaign Sows the Seeds of Change for the Fair Trade Farmers. Tough Nut to Crack, Kind Snacks Tackles Sustainability in Almond Orchards. So, you know, Kind Bars, you know, the almonds, we all know about almonds in California that are super water dependent and it's a very hard resource. So they've decided to only work with people that are sustainable farming practices. So this is really cool. So then you can go and have a Kind Bar and feel good about it. Check out Brands Take Stands.
Of course, I love this. I love this so much. So I'm curious about this newsletter. Are they just highlighting different corporations each time or are they?
Yeah, they'll pick like maybe three kind of highlights for three different subjects. And it's not always corporate. Sometimes it's, you know, Billie Eilish's fans are becoming vegan or, you know, or doing something, maybe not vegan, but they're, you know, vegetarian or something. And she's starting a movement there. Or so, you know, maybe you can consider Billie Eilish a brand, you know, it's, you know, these stars get so big.
Yeah.
So it's not always a corporation, but it is basically three highlights per week. And then it also, this is another cool feature of the newsletter, it's like what we're reading. So this is publications from other articles out there that they really like that's resonating with them.
Nice.
So it's very cool. It's super uplifting. And like I said, to shed the positive light on corporations and what they're doing right is just, it's very well needed.
So here's another question.
Yes.
Can you use the website as a resource to say you're interested in a corporation, look it up, like search on there and find out?
Oh,
that you might
I feel
have.
Like there was something like that. The website's interesting because it's like triple pundit. So it's not Brand Take Stands, which is a little bit different because for a while I was like, I don't think this is the right thing.
Interesting.
So let's see. It doesn't, let's see. There is a search. So let's
see maybe
if
just
I put
using
kind,
that.
Because I know that that will come up. So I just put kind and nothing came up.
Okay. Well,
no. It just took a while and then stuff came right up. about kind snacks test, tough nut to crack.
Oh, cool.
So it just goes up to their articles. And it's a very beautifully like designed page. You know, I'm into design as well.
It
can't just be good info, but I also want it to be sexy. So it meets all of those, checks all of those boxes.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So let's see. What would be another one?
Well, what's interesting is my next cool sheet. I am so curious if it's going to turn up.
Oh, so
there.
I'll look at it while you're talking about it.
We'll
see.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that. I cannot wait to subscribe to the newsletter and look at the website.
And they have other newsletters too. They have one that's a daily, which is probably a little too much, a different type of newsletter. That's latest coverage of business done better. So same kind of idea. And then they have a monthly. So you can actually do weekly, monthly.
Nice.
And I felt like the weekly is kind of my sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind me, because sometimes I'll forget that it's even there.
Yeah.
If it's only once a month and I'm like, oh, I forgot to even subscribe to that.
Yeah.
Or this reminds me and I'll archive it and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I should go read those. Should talk about that at some point.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, my next cool sheet. This is something that you would use in your home, and it's a company, a corporation called Who Gives a Crap. And it's named like this because their first product was toilet paper, but they have now created some other home products. These are all things that are made sustainably from bamboo, toilet paper from bamboo, but they also make some from recycled paper, or now they make doggy poop bags that are from recycled plastic. So this is what happened. Their founders, Simon, Yehan, and Danny, in July 2012, their story is that they realized that 2.4 billion people did not have access to a toilet. And that's about roughly 40% global population. So 290,000 children under five die every year from diarrheal diseases caused by poor water and sanitation. So they decided they wanted to do something about it, and they started a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo. And in fact, one of them sat on a toilet until they had like gotten enough pre-orders, and they raised $50,000 doing it that way. Anyway, they have since have all of these products that you can get. And I love them. And actually, Brian, I remember you getting toilet paper that's all wrapped in paper instead of in plastic. That is a huge thing. But this is one of the things I love about it, is their packaging is beautiful. Like, it actually enhances my bathroom because they have these really cool, funky patterns that they wrap it in. And I just love it. So they are also donating 50% of their profits to help build toilets and improve sanitation in the developing world. So I love their dedication to making the world a better place. And they're providing something that's awesome that we all need. So Who Gives a Crap?
Especially, it's just fun to say.
Yes. Do you give a crap,
Brian? Who gives a crap? Who gives a crap, really? I give a crap.
So here's my question. Does Who Gives a Crap show up on that newsletter?
So it did.
There's one
article about them. It took a while to find it. It's more of a overall talking about how different companies, but it says embracing planetary boundaries is a secret to business success. And then one of the examples, they came up as one of the examples of companies that are just doing things right, which is very cool. They talked about Beyond Meat, I think, and Who Gives a Crap, and a couple others. And see, this is what I always love about newsletters and things like this, is I can find a whole bunch of cool sheets on here.
Totally.
I mean, if we were doing this weekly, this would be, I'd probably barely even talk about the newsletter, because I'd be gatekeeping my secret weapon for all of these cool companies that I could talk about.
Totally.
The secret's out. So feel free to check it out.
That is so
Karen,
great.
And everybody else.
And just as a reminder to our listeners, Brian and I do not tell each other what our cool sheets are going to be. So
That's
we
right.
come in, it's a surprise every time. And so I love it when there's things that just kind of, they overlap, or like this, they segue into each other. It's so great.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, my next cool sheet. I have it here because I want to, it's going to be a little ASMR. This is a gadget, and it is a Nufi Air 96 version 2 keyboard. So it's a mechanical keyboard, which, you know, doesn't always sound like a big deal, but I have at home a laptop only. And it's fine, but it doesn't have a number pad. And I do enough calculations that I really miss that. I took that class in high school way back when, and I got really good at doing number keypad. And when I need to run numbers, I never could. And it was always annoying to do it in the top row. So I was like, okay, I want a wireless keyboard so I can use this with my laptop. And I started researching heavily which one to buy. You know, mechanical keyboards are a real big nerdy thing. And I found one that I really liked after hours and hours of YouTube variations. So Karen and I are looking at it right now. It's this all white. You can get different keys, but this one's kind of a retro. So most of the keys are white. Some are gray. So like shift, control, command, all of those. You can format them for Mac or Windows. But it works up to 3 devices. So I take this to work and I use it at work and then I bring it home. It also, listen to this, how the keys sound. It's got that buttery, cool sound. It also, when I turn it on, so now Karen will see it, it lights up. It does all of these cool configurations when you hit the buttons, and it has tons of different versions of that. So right now it's rainbow colors. It does all kinds of different things, but I just love that sound. And you can get different key sets. So there's people that nerd out so much. There's like 13 different kinds of little variants on how it clicks and sounds and the resistance. So you can totally geek out. It's super customizable. I love it. It's the Newfi Air 96 V2.
Oh my gosh. You need to just stop showing me things that I want to buy. This is terrible.
Yeah. It's also not cheap. But if you get a good Bluetooth keyboard, it's right in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
So an Apple keyboard, they're overpriced. So it's in the, you know, 100 and something range. So this is $130. So definitely it's expensive. But if I can use this at home, at work, and it's a good keyboard for a long time, I'm okay with that. My typing speed has gone up. Because of it.
Wow.
It's so, I mean, give it a little test run. And it's just so smooth. It's fun to type with. I've never had fun typing with a keyboard, but this is actually fun. It's just, I don't know. I liked it way better than I thought I would. And just that clickety clack, like, is so satisfying. The feel of how they bounce. I didn't think that I would nerd out about that, but I totally am. I bought this little carrying case that comes with it. So yeah, anyway.
Oh, I love it.
I do. I really love it. It's such an extravagant kind of purchase. But for something I use every day,
yes,
at home and at the office, it's worth it for me.
Well, I didn't even know anything like that existed. Like this, so this looks totally old school. This looks like 80s kind of keyboard, 80s, 90s. And it never occurred to me that people would get it. I mean, it's probably like the people who are like, what, you still play records? I'm like, of course I do.
Yeah.
But that is awesome.
Yeah. And it comes in different colors. So this base color is kind of white. They have a black version. I think they have like maybe a teal or something. And then, like I said, all of these keys, you can get them. So I have it on the Mac version. So it's got the command key and the option. But you can actually, it comes with also the Windows version. And you can just pluck those out and put option instead of, or, you know, control instead of command and things like that, or whatever I forgot what the variance is between Windows and Mac. So yeah, there's so much you can do to custom it.
Fun.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Ah, I love it.
Yeah.
Woo. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for making me spend more money.
My pleasure.
All right. My next cool sheet is going to be a location, a venue. And this is Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado, right outside of Denver. This is a place that a lot of people have heard of, but I would say a lot of people have still not been to. Whenever I mention it, people will say, oh, that's on my bucket list, but they haven't been there yet. So I wanted to talk about this and encourage people to go, and also just point out things about it that I didn't know. I had heard of this place. It was a great venue to see musical concert artists perform, but I didn't really know that much about it. It has a really interesting history to it. So first off, just it is, as the name implies, Red Rocks Amphitheater. So it is surrounded by these two big monoliths on each side, these red rocks, and it is the only naturally occurring, acoustically perfect amphitheater in the world. And so therefore, there have been people like Sting and the Beatles who have performed there, U2, opera stars, etc. And I would say that every artist aspires to play at this place. It is so magical and really incredible. It's also fairly intimate because it holds about 10,000 people, which if you're someone like U2, that is quite small. But if you're smaller artists, then you're like, wow, I just got 10,000 people. So this started in 1936, which makes sense because nowadays there is no way that they would have let someone take this beautiful natural place and turn it into a venue like this. So it was a project of the Civilian Conservation Corps that did it in the 30s. And its opening and dedication was June 1941. It was then designated a National Historic Monument in 2015. It is a beautiful place to see music, but also there are 738 acres around it of deer, pines, prairie, all these other geological wonders. So you can meander around this park when there's not even a concert going on. Highly recommend to go to this place, Red Rocks Amphitheater.
So I've never even heard of this place. I don't know how or how that's possible.
Wow.
So I had to look it up. And let me tell you, when I saw the first image, I was blown away.
Yes.
On how gorgeous it is. And we have the Gorge Amphitheater, which is pretty spectacular. So I was like, oh, it's going to be something really cool like that. And my goodness, this is magical. And the fact that it's a natural, but like perfect acoustics is just so mind-blowing.
Yes.
Yeah, now it's on my bucket list and I didn't even know about it. It's an instant bucket list item.
Absolutely.
It's just, that's amazing. Holy
It's definitely
cow.
Worth going to their website and a year in advance, like just seeing, are there any artists that I would really like to see there?
Yeah.
And get the tickets and then just make a trip around it. But honestly, seeing any artist there, I mean, unless you like hate that kind of music,
sure,
you know, whatever, but seeing anyone there, it's such an experience.
Yeah. So who did you see there?
Ryan Bingham.
Ryan Bingham.
Yeah. Who's all like, right. What do you call it? Like dirty country or outlaw country, like that. So it was really good. And they were recording for a live album.
There were
drones around and they it was just impeccable. So fun.
That's so cool.
And everyone's so happy. Everyone who's there is just
Well, you're
smiling.
Just surrounding like the most beautiful, serene place you could imagine. Yeah. I mean, how could you not be in a good mood? Plus listening to a show and everything else.
Yes.
Ah, so cool. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I can't wait to check that place out.
Yes.
My next cool sheet is because I definitely need to be reminded of this because I'm talking about a lot of extravagant purchases. So I got in a real financial rabbit hole where I was reading, like, I think I read 13 financial books. I did a couple different things to really just hone in my finances and make some positive changes. And out of the 13 books that I read, I think the one that I liked the most, and there's a couple that are right up there, but this book is called I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. And even he admits it's kind of a cheesy title. He's like, look, when you publish a book, you need it to kind of be clickbaity. You need it to stand out. Just bear with me. It's going to be okay. And I'm glad because I think I did have that reaction when I first looked like almost a get rich quick scheme or something. But I read through it and I really, really enjoyed it. So in a 2024 study, more than half the people who participated were financially illiterate. The MarketWatch study, roughly 130 million people are trying to build a sustainable financial life without even understanding the basic tools available, such as a Roth IRA, money market account, or even a high yield savings account. So I'm not the only one that gets really confused and really intimidated when it comes to financial information. So Ramit makes it super digestible. He's got a really cool kind of fun attitude. You know, he's like, quit talking about not drinking a latte every morning. He's like, that's small potatoes. He's like, that, don't worry about it. You know, live your best life. Have that latte. But here's the big decisions. Can you get a 30% increase in your at work? That will make a big impact. Can you save 20% more per paycheck? That will make a gigantic difference in your life. So he talks about how, and he calls it your rich life, how to, what your rich life means to you. It's different for everybody, and how to get there. Definitely to check out the book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich.
Yes, I'm actually familiar with this one.
Yes.
I think I learned about him first on Netflix, and right, I watched maybe an episode.
Yes, I think it's the same title.
Yeah, but then I looked into maybe his book, and then you told me some things about him because I kind of forgot about him. And I follow him a little bit on like YouTube and stuff, and he is so funny, and I love how he digs into these people that he's talking to.
Yeah, he deals with a lot of couples.
Yes.
And he has a good way of being playful, but very like
no
firm.
Nonsense.
Yeah. Like he's like, no. Like, do you hear what you're saying?
Yes.
That's insane. Yeah. Don't why do you think you're poor?
Mm-hmm.
You have two car payments and you only one of you drives and you've got a Mercedes for no reason and that's stupid and you know and he still does it in a way where you don't get mad at him. And that's really hard to do.
Oh yeah.
You know,
and
people, I think, take his advice pretty seriously. Mm-hmm. I would say that the one thing that I don't agree with him with is he's pretty anti-owning a home. And for a long time, that actually, I wouldn't say influenced me, but kind of justified my decision to not be a homeowner sooner. Mm-hmm. And I feel like homeownership, it's true. I'd say if you live in a big city like LA, New York, it's going to become like almost impossible to be a homeowner at this point in time, unless you're just financially, you know, independent. But where I live, the market was okay. And I just wish I would have done it. I'm glad I did it when I did, and I don't regret it. But I do kind of wish I did it 10, 15, 20 years sooner. So, you know, but that it is, I still did it. I'm living my rich life or getting to that path.
Right.
So I'm, you know, you don't have to agree with everything to be like make or break. There's too much of that these days where it's like, well, it's all or nothing.
Right.
You know, we disagree on that one thing, but 95% of the content that he talks about, I agree with him. And he's super, super helpful.
And I really like his thing, what is your rich life? And he has people think about what it is for them and how different it is for different people.
Yeah.
And that's really important. That's almost key when you're making decisions. If you base it on what someone else is doing, then you could actually, it could be detrimental to you and the choices that you make. So that's really
absolutely
important.
And he runs the numbers. He's like, okay, this is, okay, you do own a house. Well, what's your mortgage? Okay, your mortgage is this. Your expenses are this. This is what you pay for groceries and all these things. And these are how you want, you know, he's like, you need to have like luxuries in your life. That's part of your rich life.
Yeah.
So let's say you want to have that latte every day. Factor that in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so you need to make this much. This is when you can retire. He maps it all out. I mean, it's super smart. And he's like, okay, this is how long you need to work. You either get a raise, you start saving more. If this is where you want to get when in this many years, this is what you have to do. And super smart. And people just don't, it is very intimidating. And it took me a long time to feel comfortable. And I think he can help a lot of people.
That's so great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My next cool sheet is a mode of travel, very specific, and it has to do with taking a road trip. But the specificity of it is taking a road trip in an EV, an electric vehicle. So, Brian, I know you're a fan of this because you have an EV, and I did just get an EV, but I discovered this before I got one. And this was part of why I now have one. So I have had my entire life a gas-powered vehicle, and as most of us have. And I just imagined that there was no way I would get an EV in any near future because I imagined that it would be so difficult to go to these places that I like to drive to very easily at all. I drive to Montana, I drive to New Mexico, and I live in Oregon. So that means going through some very remote places. And I thought it was kind of impossible. Now, it is true that now we're in 2024, almost 2025, and there are more charging stations, but I still just didn't think it was possible. Turns out that it is, and it does take a little bit more work ahead of time, but the experience itself is so delightful. So when you think about when you're on a road trip and you're going down the freeways and you're stopping at these gas stations and you see the I'm not even going to say brands, but you see them and you go in, you fill up, you go in convenience store. It is the same experience every time. But when you're looking for charging stations, they are at parks. They are at community centers. They are at little theaters or at dinosaur museums. They are at these funky little places where you have to go in the little town and find where it is. And then you get to hang out and talk to locals and while you're waiting to charge. And it does not take that long to charge. I will say it took us less than half an hour. We were driving from Oregon all the way to New Mexico. So we were going through remote parts of southern Utah, of southwest Colorado, and northern New Mexico, where not a lot of people, but we were able to do it. It was amazing. It was fun. Road trip in an EV.
Yes. Big fan. I haven't really taken a road trip, which is kind of crazy, in my car, you know, more than to Portland and back. But yeah, I need to do it. And so more good news for you. I'm 90%, 95% sure that Tesla is going to essentially, I think, be forced to have their charging stations. Essentially every UV, because there's like different formats of plugins.
Yes.
And they're all going to the Tesla format. And it's going to be open to everybody, not just Teslas. And Tesla, one of the things that the reason why I got a Tesla is because it had the most robust, the most charging stations nationwide by a mile, like way more than any other EV station, like combined, all
that
of them combined.
Sense. Yeah.
Because he was really had some forethought and got that mapped out. So now everybody has that. And Tesla people are kind of, they're, you know, snobby anyway. At least that's a reputation. I'm the one exception. But so some of them are pretty upset because we don't have to wait. That's the other thing, is it's for Tesla only. So there's almost always no wait for Tesla charging stations. Where if you go to a busy charging station and there's only a couple, you got to wait for your turn. That can be a thing. Well, Tesla always has like six, so they have twice as many, and we never have to wait. But now we will, because everybody can use it. So I already know.
But there will probably be more, or possibly.
Maybe.
So yeah, I am really curious about this. Like if we, so for my EV, will Chevrolet, is the maker of my car, will they then provide the, what do you call it?
The adapter
to go into Tesla? Or
they
what?
Probably won't.
Okay.
Since you've already bought it. Mm-hmm. My guess is they will for all new purchases once it switches over. Because mine did. Mine came with an adapter for all the other kinds.
Oh, okay.
But it's cool. It'll be even easier than it was before.
EVs for all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, cool. Thanks for sharing. Yes. I'm so glad you're on board.
Definitely. I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's very cool. But yeah, it seems very scary. And, you do have to do a little more pre-planning. You have to factor in that time, but so worth it. Every aspect, it's worth
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really want to encourage people just rethink, because I was there. I was there with like, no way I want my gas car to drive anywhere more than 2 hours or something. No, you don't need that. Believe me, I learned it.
There you go.
I did it.
You did it. All right. Well, I'm proud of you. I'm happy. Thanks for sharing that.
And I'm so excited. And now I have a new car. Yay.
And now I can go take a road trip and go see that concert.
At Red Rocks.
Yes. Cool. All right. My next cool sheet coincides with the book that I just talked about. So in my journey for money management, I needed a new app because Mint went away, got bought out, and it basically watered down. So Mint, the finance tracking app that was free forever. It was great, but it went away, like I said. And I scoured. I was like, okay, which one's the best? None of them are free anymore if you want any kind of features that actually do things. And I landed on Copilot. Now, the only bad thing is it is Apple only right now, so it doesn't make an Android. So sorry about that, guys. But let me tell you what. This app is beautiful. It does cost $90 a year, which, so it's a little bit spendy and ironic that it's a money saving app, but it costs you $90. It's not lost on me, but let me tell you what. It's like when you're trying to lose weight, you really need to take a food journal. You don't have to do it for the rest of your life, but you really need to start tracking your calories. Same thing for money spent. You need to know where your money's going every month. And this makes it so easy to categorize it, and it uses AI. So once it says, oh, this is, you know, from Amazon, and so I think it's going to be in a kitchen category, or I think this is going to be in home, you know, if you just want to have more broad, it'd be like home or work expense or books, or you can make as many categories as you want. And it comes with fun little icons. It's super, you know, how I like it to be everything to look really neat. It is the most beautiful finance app you've ever seen. It won Smartest Ways to Save Money, Editor's Choice to 2024 finalists for Apple Design Awards. Same thing in 2023, Must Have Finance App, Apps We Love, all by Apple. So it's won tons of awards. It is so easy to track. And it also reminds you when you have those subscriptions that you forgot about, because it's like, hey, you have a subscription coming up. Do you even use this app anymore or whatever? It's so great. Definitely check it out. Copilot.
I have never heard of this. This sounds great. And I used Mint too and watched it go away. And then I just never used anything again.
And the greatest thing was when it was going out, it had to like import your Mint data. And it's still, well, since Mint doesn't exist, so once I knew Mint was like going away in 30 mm-hmm. days, I went on this big search. And so it took all my data from Mint and imported it in. So have years of data still, even though this is a brand new app.
Awesome.
Of like spending habits, my job history, my payments, you know, all of these things. And it automatically just like categorized most of them. It was so slick. It's so easy. And it just gives you, you know, it gives you once a week, like a financial outlook. Mm-hmm. Each month it says, okay, here's how much money you usually make per month. Here's where you usually spend it. Like, you don't have to set your categories. It just will average them out for mm-hmm. you. And then it says, okay, you spend about $100 on groceries. You go out about, you know, $150 a month, you do this, you know, and then it's very easy. Like, okay, how can I cut that down a little bit? How can I reduce this, add to savings, do the, you know, here's how much your home is worth. It tells me, you know, here's your principal, here's your interest, here's your, you know, here's when you're going to pay it off. Here's what you could do to reduce that. I mean, it's so slick. And like I said, super beautiful. It works on the phone. Your computer has a desktop version, and it just came out with an iPad version.
Awesome.
It keeps pretending it says it's going to come out with the Android version, but they've said that for like 5 years. The good thing I like that it does cost money is that I know it's going to stick around. It's not going to be like Mint and eventually get bought out. Feel okay if I'm paying some money to make sure that they keep developing it, they stick with it, they don't abandon it, and I don't have to watch ads and do all that other crazy crap. They're not selling my information, you know,
right.
All those things you don't want your money app to be doing.
So what impact has it had on you? Like, have you made changes as a result of having this app?
Absolutely. I've definitely cut some subscriptions because it's like so easily defined on like, here's your monthly automatic outputs on things that you buy, apps, mm-hmm. you know, subscription service of Spotify and Netflix and this, and, you know, because all, you know, when you get them, it's like, oh, it's only $5 a month. It's only $10 a month. It's only, and then you get $5 a month to death. And all of a sudden you're paying hundreds of dollars a month.
Yep.
So it's definitely cut. You just, once you kind of figure out like, oh my gosh, I spent, you know, I went out and spent $400 on restaurants last month. That's crazy. Okay. I can't go out this month for food unless it's a birthday or something, you know? So yeah, it's just, everything is so top of mind because it's always reminding you. Every time you can set it for certain notifications, you know, if you go over budget, it'll like ping you and say, hey, you've spent more than usual. you've made more than usual this month. What gives?
That'd be nice.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been super helpful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
My next cool sheet is a beverage, and it is something I just discovered this year. It is fresh hop beer. This is a complete game changer for me and my beer experience. So I am very much a lager kind of person, which is a light beer. Those heavy beers are the real bitter IPAs and things like that. I've never been able to really enjoy much. And this year I discovered these beers that only come out seasonally. It's only about a 3-week window, and it is focused in the Pacific Northwest. There are a bunch of breweries that make beer that is infused with fresh hops. So the normal way to grow hops and then use them in beer is to grow them, and then you get a whole bunch, or they get a whole bunch, and they dry them just like you would for spices, and then use them for brewing beer throughout the year, which totally makes sense. But I don't know who thought of this at one point, but they were like, hey, we have these fresh hops, and spices are great when they're fresh, right? So let's take these fresh hops and infuse them in. And it is a total, it's like I said, game changer how it tastes. I like IPAs if they're fresh hop. I still feel the same way as the regular ones, but it brings in this whole nother layer of flavor. There are a whole bunch of different types of hops, so depending on what type they use, then it will have a different effect on what it is. The lagers that I already liked taste even better. The IPAs taste better. Now I can drink them, and they're just so lovely. So I have a couple fresh hop beers here, and Brian, you're going to get to try one. So I'm going to open this up and pour you a little sip. And this happens to be one from Eugene, Oregon. I have another one here that is from Hood River. But yeah, it is focused on Oregon and Washington tend to be the ones that do it the most. Maybe we'll go nationwide, but this is where we grow them. This is a pale ale that you are trying. So I highly recommend trying, if you can, fresh hop beer.
Boy, I almost broke the code several times there because I was so excited as soon as you cracked that open. This is delicious. It is so yeah, I would say I'm not a big super hoppy person either because it gets really, really bitter. And this is absolutely not bitter.
Isn't it amazing?
Like it's so, cheers.
Cheers.
It's refreshing. Mm-hmm. It's clean and crisp. It's got like a really crisp feel to it.
Yeah.
I would say versus that bitter, you know, and some people love that real hoppy.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
Triple
oh,
it's IPA.
Absolutely.
But it's just never been my thing. And I appreciate people that appreciate it.
Yes.
But this, I totally dig.
And people who love IPAs love fresh hop IPAs. So it's
cool.
It's one
so
of those
it's a
things
win-win.
You just cannot go wrong with
yeah.
it.
No, it is. It is really good. Like you said, this is kind of a game changer for people that, you know, I have a lot of friends that don't like beer at all, only drink cider or hard seltzers or things like that. They might be open to this.
Yeah.
I want to get some and then have them try that.
And this is the thing. It is seasonal.
Okay.
So.
Sure. That makes sense.
And it's right
fresh.
Around fall time.
Okay.
And so if you miss the window, you have to wait until okay. next time, which is cool because it makes it special. It's
yeah.
kind of like when the blackberries are in season or the
yeah,
peaches and you get your
true.
Fresh peaches off the tree. It's kind of like that.
And fall's the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts getting dark sooner. I like to cocoon into the fall.
Yeah.
Stay home more, have a nice cold beer. I love it. Mm. Well, delicious. Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing it and sharing
yes,
it, too.
Yes, you're welcome. Is this the first time we've drunk beer on while recording?
How is that possible?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We've talked about various substances while doing the show, and this is the first time we've actually done one.
Actually done it. Look at this.
Well, it only took 280 episodes or something before we did it, so I'm really glad. Well, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, this is my last cool sheet. And this is a kitchen appliance, and this is the Chef Wave Milkmaid. And this is essentially an alternative milk maker machine. And you might say, oh, it's a one-use gadget. Not for me, because it can do all kinds of different kinds of milk, but yeah, it only makes alternative milks. But I really like alternative milk. I've just been doing that for, you know, I'm not vegan or vegetarian or anything like that, but I have kind of gone away from the big, you know, cow industry and not drank so much milk. I've been doing alternatives. I don't like buying store-bought as much, though, because they put a lot of sugar in it. A lot of sugar. That's why it tastes so dang good. And preservatives and things like that. And that I understand more, but the sugar to make it sweet and smooth and silky, it's just, I just don't want that. So it's really hard. It's not hard, but it's just time consuming to make milk on your own. What I was finding was my sweet spot, though, was oat milk. You just take a blender, you put 8 cups of water, you take 1 cup of oats, you blend it for 30 seconds, you strain it in a really fine mesh, either a nut milk bag or a fine mesh strainer, strain it out. But it's about a 45-minute process, and it's all labor intensive. You're there the whole time. So I'll listen to podcasts and I'll do that. But I just don't do it as often because it's kind of a process. This takes 12 minutes, perfect milk. I displayed it with Karen so she could see the wonder of this thing. Essentially, it's 1 to 2 tablespoons only of whatever beverage you were going to make. So 1 tablespoon of oats or 2 tablespoons of cashews. You can do mix and match. You can add flavors. You just put it in the top little hopper, push a button, go do whatever you want. 12 minutes later, you got piping hot milk. Cool it overnight. It's the best thing. It is one of the best purchases I have made in years. Chef Wave Milkmaid.
Yes, I will attest to this. And here's this thing I'm getting for sure. And everything you just said, it is amazing. And it's going to...
And it cleans itself.
I know.
I didn't even get to talk about that it cleans itself.
And so easily. And you just dumped out the water that it used to clean itself.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's it. I mean, we're talking, this thing takes minutes at the most, 2 minutes to make. You, like I said, you can mix and match and make these concoctions of different flavored milk. You can make chocolate milk, strawberry milk if you wanted to. You can mix the, you know, almonds and cashews and hemp hearts. You can, you know, they have recipes of like the ones that make the most sense. You can just do trial and error. I will say the one thing is it makes smaller batches. It makes up to 20 ounces at the most. And for a big family, that might be not enough, or you'd have to do like a ton of batches of it.
Right.
But for me, being single, living by myself, just me and the cat, it is so perfect because fresh milk only lasts 4 or 5 days. So you don't want to make a ton if you're not going to drink it. So it's actually perfect for me.
Yeah.
If it made a ton, it would be too much. So this is just perfect. It is, like I said, one of the best purchases that I made.
And
in a
from
long
what
time.
You said, you told it's not cheap,
no.
But I did a simple calculation of how much I buy, and I also use alternative milks, and I would easily pay for this in 3 months with the money that I spend on buying soy milk, oat milk, stuff like that.
And you're getting all that sugar, you're getting preservatives, that who knows what's in there. And this, you know exactly what you're putting into your body. It's clean. It's I didn't put any sugar, and you tasted some of that cashew milk, and it was good.
So good.
Creamy.
And this is totally leveling up. I had a cool sheet talking about alternative milks, and this takes that and just levels it up like beyond what I could have imagined.
To do it so easy is just such a game changer, because I have the kind that's just a blade for almond milk or nut milks, all kinds, and it's so messy and you have to strain it and you waste so much fiber,
right?
And you know, you can use that for oatmeal or smoothies or overnight oats and things like that, but not if you're by yourself. Like, you can't use all of it. And I feel really bad of how much I'm wasting. And this skill-free, it's easy. It checks all the boxes.
Yeah. No, this
thing's so
great.
Cool. And now my kitty cat is drinking some of this fresh hot beer. He's getting wasted. He's having a good time.
Well, this has been really fun.
This has been fun. Yeah. I'm so glad that we're doing this again. Yep. I can't wait to do it again.
Yep. We'll keep them rolling. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We love having you with us while we share these wonderful, cool sheets that we discover.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Want to learn more about this week's cool sheets?
Head on over to 10bestus, that's 10bestus.com, for links to all of our cool sheets.